A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Tzadi Amud Beis 90b, pagination is 180, starting from the Gemara, four lines from the top at the end of the line, Tafshin, Tashema, come and hear a proof. We are dealing over here with the topic of how much can the rabbis, leaders of a generation, influence Torah law. Can they indeed make exceptions and make an impact on Torah law? We're told that in certain dramatic cases, the rabbis can influence Torah law in Shev Va'al Taisa to tell you in certain circumstances not to do a certain mitzvah because of mitigating factors. The Gemara now brings a proof from the case of a Navi Emes, a truthful prophet, loyal to Torah, to Hashem. He's brought signs that he's indeed a true prophet. He was affirmed by other well-known true prophets. And we're told about such a person, Elov Tishma'un, you should listen to him. Afilu omer lecha avor alachas mikol mitzvah shebetorah, even if he tells you to violate a specific mitzvah in the Torah. Now, based on Talmudic literature, the Rambam tells us that there are two major conditions regarding what a true prophet can tell you and be listened to and still be a true prophet. Number one, he can only be telling you that it's a temporary dispensation from a specific mitzvah. And number two, the specific mitzvah that he is identifying is not that we should worship Avodah Zarah idols. So again, it can only be a temporary reprieve, a specific dispensation. In the words of the Rambam, Shehamitzvah hazos lanu ulevaneinu ad olam, because it is understood that the Torah is to us and our children forever, for all time, for all descendants. It is a perfect product, so to speak, if we could downgrade to the wording of the generation. It's really much more than that, because the world was created from the Torah being the blueprint. But at the very least, to appreciate that Torah is forever. So he can't violate a mitzvah in that sense. And also, whichever mitzvah he does say, it can't be Avodah Zarah to worship idols. And the Gemara gives an example of such an exception, Kigon Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu, in that famous incident where he built a Mizbeach outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in order to have a showdown with the prophets of the Baal, Hakol Lefi Sha'ah Yish Shemalo. If it's just for a temporary instance, then you should listen to him. And that's the example of Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. It was a one-time statement that in the name of Hashem, in the name of Torah, he needs to build this Mizbeach. And in that case, a reputable authority like Eliyahu is going to be trusted on such a thing. So that's one exception, and it's described as Migdar Milsa, a necessity for the situation. Moving along in constraint of time, let's drop down to two stories from the Gemara, which give us examples of when the Beis Din, the rabbinical authorities of the generation, the leaders, would take a stance that's different than the actual technical law. About midway on the page, in the beginning of a line, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara tells us, Shamati, I heard, Shebezdin makin va'onchin shalom min haTorah. that sometimes Beis Din will punish in a way that's not the legal way of the Torah. For lo laver al divrei Torah, they're not going against the Torah, elalaso siyog la Torah, but as a protective fence, they can take a very strong stance. Maisa ba'odom echod. It was a story with a person. Sharachav al sus b'shabbos b'mei yivonim. He rode on a horse on Shabbos in the times of the Yevonim, in the times of the Hanukkah story. And apparently things were so serious and leveraged and vulnerable. It was a time in flux. And Beis Din of the time apparently felt that they had to take a stance. And even though riding on a horse on Shabbos is not a biblical violation, but rather a rabbinic violation, but presumably it was done in a way that flaunted Torah Judaism as a tease, as a way of affiliating, showing, demonstrating affiliation with the Syrian Greeks. Hevi uhu the Beis Din v'sakluhu. They brought him to Beis Din and they stoned him for that offense. Lo mepnei sheroi lakach, not because it's fitting, it's not the legal rule. Ela sha'asha tzricha lakach, but because the times required it, and we know it was a time of revolt and time of vulnerability, and this is certainly something that's not codified in our Shulchan Aruch, it's not the way we operate, but he's relating a story so that we should appreciate, at least in the legalities of Torah, how extreme a very specific, unusual situation might impact a ruling. In the rulings that we have in Shulchan Aruch, it's more in terms of issuing a fine of financial import on somebody because of the situation. Veshuv Maisa Ba'adam Echad, there was another instance with a person, She'itiach Be'ishto Tachas Hate'eno. He did something improper with his wife underneath a fig tree. Now, Rashi says that what he did improper with his wife under the fig tree was Baal. He was intimate with her. Now, the significance of the Te'ena is great because presumably we're contrasting the incident with the possibility of it being underneath a different type of tree, which would be handled in a very different perspective. The te'ena is associated with some level of tznius. Parenthetically, the clothing that Adam and Chava made for themselves when they realized they were unclothed was ale te'ena, leaves of a fig tree. They're big and they cover. They're dense. Also, we find a contrast that the tamar, the date tree, the palm tree, is extremely tall before it gives off its branches. And therefore, we're told that when Devora, the prophetess, wanted to sit in a place, she chose to sit underneath a palm tree because there's no tznius privacy under that, and therefore, even if she met, so to speak, privately with people that other people wouldn't overhear, but everybody else can see what was going on, and it was not an act of privacy. The te'ena, the fig tree that we're talking about here in this Gemara, in contrast, is dense and low in the way the tree is. And presumably that's why the Gemara bothers to record which tree it was. It wasn't just any tree. The man did something that's totally improper and unacceptable, but it wasn't like just impossible to understand a total. This is what he did. He went into a forest, whatever he did. And the way the Beis Din handled it was, Hevi'uhu le-Beis Din v'hilkuhu. They gave him malchus. They gave him lashes for that behavior. Lo mepnei sheroi lakach, not because technically him with his wife under the te'ena there's no such law in Torah to give him malchus. Ela shashat tzricha lekach, but it's an act of brazenness. Migdar milsa shayni, and to make offense against improper behavior is something that the Beis Din is empowered to do. So again, Chazal, under certain circumstances, could take a stance that's not technically the biblical law, but they have to do it with extreme caution and only when it's Migdar Milsa in order to uphold Torah law. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.